This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Nate Bucati, joined as always by the one and only Carter Augustine. And we are on location today. We are at a very special place. We're at the AT&T store in Zona Rosa. You can come down to Zona Rosa. You can't really miss us. We are right on the west side of the road as you drive into Zona Rosa.
Yeah,
you can't miss us. You'll see the big Sports Radio 810 WHB truck outside. Rudy Salad Bar, a.k.a. Rudy Salazar, is here with us as well. And most importantly, we're joined by Sporting Kansas City defender Andreu Fontas, who is here signing autographs, taking pictures until 7:30 today. So come on down to the AT&T store before it's too late. You got 30 minutes or so to get here and say hi to Andreu, take pictures, sign autographs, all that stuff. Plus, we are giving away a Sporting Kansas City prize pack. So if you come down and all you have to do is sign up and you have a chance to win a prize pack from Sports Radio 810 and Sporting Kansas City as well. We got a very busy show for you today. We have a lot to talk about. U.S. Women's National Team and the World Cup Watch Party. The United States Men's National Team will be back in action in the Gold Cup. Sporting Kansas City with two home games coming up this weekend.
Finally.
To break, after a long, long time away from home. All that stuff coming up on the show. So we're going to have a conversation with Peter Vermees where we talk about tomorrow night's game against LAFC and all that straight ahead. But as I mentioned, the star of the show is Andreu Fontas. He is here joining us right now, taking a break from the autographs and the pictures. Andreu, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Thank you. Very good.
So where should we start? Carter, we were chatting with you before we even came on the air a little bit about your background, and we always like to give our audience and our fans a chance to get to know our players a little bit better, in addition to talking about the team and what's coming up. But let's start with getting to know Andreu Fontas a little bit. Tell us about the town you're from, where it is in relation to Barcelona, and maybe your youth soccer career a little bit as you made your way to Barcelona.
Well, I'm from Banyoles. It's a little town in 1 hour by car from 1 hour 15 minutes by car from Barcelona. So yeah. Very close, close to Girona also. It's the biggest city, more close even to Barcelona, and I played soccer there all my first years of playing soccer. I started at 4 years old, and I played there in my hometown until I had 17. Then I played 1 year in Girona, that's a little bit bigger, and I get the chance to play in the under-19s best league and play against, for example, Barça and Espanyol and Mallorca and these teams. It's for zones, it's not all Spain, but some very good teams. And after this year, Barça signed me, and I played there 1 year in the under-19s, and then three and a half in the second team and one and a half in the first team.
What's Banyoles like? I think it's next to a pretty big lake, right?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. What's life like in Banyoles?
Well, it's amazing for me.
Yeah.
For what I have to say. Yeah, it's my hometown. I love that place. When I finish my career, we will live there with my family for sure. There's a big lake, as you said. It's a very a lot of people go there to practice sports. There are mountains. A lot of people going to train for bike, for triathlons, because you can swim, you can go bike, you can run. It's where I get ready for the pre-seasons all my life around the lake, doing the all around the lake. It's like 6 kilometers more or less, but you can also do more around the mountains and make it bigger. So it's perfect for all kind of sports and also a very calm place. And well, I love it so yeah. It's very good because also you are so close to Barcelona, to Girona, that are big cities, but you don't have the bad thing of the big cities. So easy to live there, and of course I love it.
So what is what's the famous food in your hometown? Like, what do people eat? What do people make there?
It's not. Maybe there's not one thing like here, the barbecue.
Yeah.
But there, I don't know, in Catalonia it's very famous, the pan tomàquet. It's bread with tomato, and then you can put all kind of meat and cheese, and you can, of course, jamón. It's not from Catalonia, but it's very typical there, in Spain. And we have amazing food. We're very close to the sea. We have fish. Amazing rice also. It's not like Valencia, but good paellas, and yeah. And I think we have all kind of food, and very good.
So sounds like you were mentioning there's a lot of like outdoor sports. Bicycling is very huge. Cycling is really huge in Spain.
Yeah.
You talk about mountaineering kind of near your town as well. What drove you to soccer growing up? Were there some players that you watched? Was it something in the family? What was it?
I can't tell you exactly, but all my memories that I have in my life is with the ball, no? All the picture I have at home. yeah, my family was big soccer fans. My father played not professional, but played soccer always. My grandpa also played a little bit better than my father. He played like in the second division, but long time ago. And I always loved to play there. I was always in my backyard shooting balls in the beach when we go to the beach, shooting always with the ball. And I don't know. I did also. I played tennis a little bit, but never. Really? Never, I loved that much as soccer, and I don't know. As you said, outdoor running, I did it a lot. Bicycle, maybe not that much. Also, rowing is very famous for people rowing in the lake, and I also tried. But I love soccer always, and I was focused on that.
So we're visiting with Andreu Fontas, and you mentioned through your career as you were about 18 years old, that's when you made it to the Barcelona system, La Masia.
Yeah.
When you're a kid, you told me you were a big Barcelona fan. That was your favorite team. And I know what a legendary club that must be in the area. So can you take us back to when you realized that Barcelona was interested in you? Do you remember, did a scout come up to you? How did you find out, and what was the process like when you found out, I have a chance to get into their program?
Yeah, of course I remember, like if it was now.
Yeah.
I played in Girona, as I said to you, and we did an amazing season. We played very good. I was there, it was my first year there in Girona. So it was from nothing to everything in so short period of time, and we did a very good season in Girona, and a lot of teams, a lot of bigger teams than Girona, came to sign me and some other players that we were playing regularly in that season. So I remember that I had very good teams asking for me to join them, and we were even in the middle of the season, and I was saying, I remember saying to my father, you can imagine that maybe Barça also came and say something. Wow, my father is a huge Barça fan, huge. And I was also, because all of my life watching Barça at home and even in the Camp Nou, so, and maybe not. It was not the one who was more interested in me, I have to tell the truth, because the other ones came before, and maybe with better sportive offers, or to play maybe in the second teams, not in the under 19s or something like this, but But when we had the offer from Barca, when they came, yeah, with the scout that the guy who works for the Girona zone puts contact with us, and we said, no, we have to think and we have to look which one is better for me, for my career. But we look at the eyes, my father and my mother and my sister was there, and we said, It's my dream. It's my dream. I have to try it. I don't know. Maybe in some other places would be easier to get there and to be professional. But it's my dream to be able to train every day with the Barca clothes. For me, it was 1 year ago impossible to think. And
yeah.
And I had the chance, and we said, well, let's go, and I decided to go there.
So, and you got to live your dream. I mean, you made it to the first team, and for you, it doesn't get any better than that, right? I mean, you'll get to say that for the rest of your life. You wore the shirt.
Yeah, for sure. It was amazing. It was so fast. I started playing there, and we did, the team, it was not the best in the world, because we played with under-19s, and you are supposed to win the league and win all the trophies that you play, and we didn't do it. We finished seconds after Villarreal, I think, and we went to the cup here that we played in with all the teams in Spain, and we lost also the final. We get to the final, but we lost. So it wasn't the best season of our lives for the club, and I was. I think that the only one of the guys that we were last year of under-19s that I went to the second team. Wow. Me and I think two keepers that one went on loan. So like me and another one. In the team there were amazing players that were younger than me that also came, like Jonathan Dos Santos, Thiago Alcantara, Muniesa, a lot of players that but were younger than me. The ones that we were last year of under-19s, it was only me and one keeper. So it was crazy. And then in the second team, I start not playing a lot, but at the end of my second season there, I think it was in the middle, like in December, more or less, that it's half of the season, I start playing, and I played all the second part of the season, every game, and I think Barca won the league one or two games before the end of the season, and to be rest and to be able the starting players to be ready for the Champions League final, they call some of us to go to the first team. And I didn't get my debut there, but I went with the first team and I sit in on the bench. I was talking, it's 2 years after when I, just two yeah. years after yeah. when I signed to Barcelona. So that's crazy. I was there. Next year I started the pre-season with them. I made my debut. My debut will be 10 years now, in August, 10 years ago. And then I played again with the second team, and then it was one year after then when I start playing a little bit more and sharing Barça B and first team. So it was so fast. Then we get to second division with the second team. We did an amazing season, and it was there when I start playing for the first team.
Did you play center back this whole time, or did you play some other positions, or what was that process like?
No, in my hometown, I was a little bit better there, and I played a little bit higher in the midfield and scoring some goals.
Yeah.
Now it seems impossible, but yes, I scored some goals playing like a position similar like Felipe is playing with us now.
Sure.
Then when I went to Girona, I start a little bit more back. When I went to Barca, a little bit more back, where Ilya is playing.
Uh-huh.
And when I get to the Barca B, Luis Enrique, my coach, put me in the center back. He told me you have to play center back. You have qualities with the ball, and I think you can do it great there. And was him the first one to put me there. And after that, all my life center back. I played some other times midfielder, but almost always center back.
We're visiting with Andreu Fontas. Okay, let's bring it back to Sporting Kansas City now. When we go back to the beginning of the season, when you guys were getting ready to play against Toluca, Carter and I were in the news conference. Carter asked a question, and the head coach for Toluca referred to Sporting Kansas City as Barcelonita. He said you guys play very similar to the style of Barcelona. And then you guys went down to Toluca, and it was all working.
Yeah.
How close, when you guys were playing that way, when you're playing as well and everybody's on the same page, how much does it look? I know it's not the same level, but in terms of the style and the system, how close really is it to the way that Barcelona wants to play?
So close.
Yeah.
It's difficult to speak now because we are not in the position that we want to be.
Right.
Of course, we are not in the way of playing that we want to be. A lot of things happened this season, but I still believe that this team have the qualities and the players to make an amazing football, amazing soccer, and play as you said, not at the same level, but very very football, very very similar that Barca wants to that or Barca plays. I'm agree all the things that Peter says to us are very similar what I had or the coaches I had in Barcelona wants to us to do in the field, so it's very very similar, and we proved that we can do it, and I think we have to win confidence again and believe that we are the same team that we start the season playing that way, and we can be back and do it for sure.
I want to get back to the soccer in just a sec, but I'm just curious, you're almost a year now into being here in Kansas City. How have you settled in, and have you found some places that you like to go? What do you think of the city?
No, I love the city. I have to tell you, I think it's a very easy city to live, to have a family. My wife and my daughter are so happy here. I think we live in an amazing place, very good neighborhood. The people is adorable. It makes your life so easy. Everybody wants to help you. We live, we can walk. We have amazing places to go walking, parks for our doctor, to enjoy the life here. The weather it's a little bit hard in the winter. And also now with the hot, but we are so happy here. I think it's a great place to live, to play soccer, and to grow up a family.
Do you like the barbecue? You can be honest with us.
Of course, I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. One of the first things that Betsy told me to do, I said, "What's the most typical thing or to eat here? Barbecue." And we went to Joe's Barbecue in the gas station. It's mm-hmm. it's an amazing place. All the visits that came here to see us, we bring them there. And they love it. It's a very, very special place, and the food is amazing.
We're visiting with Andreu Fontas before we let you go. And once again, we're here at the AT&T store in Zona Rosa. So if you're in the Northland, if you're aware of the neighborhood, he'll be here signing autographs for another 10, 15 minutes or so. So come on down and say hi. Let's look into tomorrow night, the game against LAFC. Now, it was 4 months ago, I think. So what is it, March? So March, April, May, June. Yeah, so 4 months ago, to the day, you guys opened the season at LAFC. And at that time, I think we all thought these are the two best teams in the Western Conference. You took a knock in the game and had to come out. And now you play them again. I know things have gone very differently, like you said, but Can you look back on that game against LAFC and say, this is what we need to do tomorrow night? What do you need to do tomorrow night to get a result?
I think if we are close to what we did there, we will have a lot of chances to win the game. I'm still pissed off how it went this day, because I think that injury starts make the things go back for me in this season. But well, things happen, no? As I said, I think we did great things that day, and if it wasn't for the small details, we had to get a better result. As you said, I think they are maybe the best team in the league right now, and tomorrow we have a good chance to prove that we can do it again, that we did 4 months ago in their place. I think we start, I think, 30 minutes. We have to remember that we came from Toluca 3 days before, mm-hmm. and we were tired at the last minute, and they scored. No, the result was for them, but I think we have to do as much things similar that we did that day, and get a result will be amazing for us to build our confidence back. As I said, I think we need to get a good result and do it in our home, that we've been 1 month without our people. It's crazy. It's been a long time, and tomorrow I think we have all the things to do it, and against, as I said, a great team that will make us feel better even more.
Andrea, thank you so much for the time and letting us get to know you a little bit. I know you got some people here that want to get some autographs from you, so we'll let you get back to it. And good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, right. Andrea.
That is Andrea Fontas. We'll take a break again. We're here at the AT&T store in Zona Rosa. Andrea is here signing autographs for another 10, 15 minutes or so. And you can come down, and you can also register to try to win tickets and a Sporting Kansas City prize pack as well here at the Zona Rosa. At the Zona Rosa AT&T store. Napier, Katie, and Carter Augustine with you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Sporting Kansas City Fantasy Experience with Peter Vermees that is coming up. We're going to talk about the experience that Carter and I had at the World Cup Watch Party and much, much more. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are live at the AT&T store in Zona Rosa. You can come down and say hi to Andre Ufantas. He's still signing some autographs here, 8454 Northwest Prairie View Road. Now, there's a couple things I want to talk about before we get into this women's national team game today against the English. There's a big opportunity for Sporting Kansas City fans coming up, Carter, called the Sporting Fantasy Experience with Peter Vermees. This is the first time that Sporting is putting on a camp like this, and it's a two-day adult camp created personally by Peter Vermees. And if you know Peter, every detail is going to be covered. Every I will be dotted. Every T will be crossed. He put this program together himself. It includes a training session at the world-class $90 million Pinnacle facility, recovery sessions with the medical staff and their state-of-the-art space-age equipment, happy hours with some of the execs and movers and shakers from Sporting KC, exclusive tours not available to the general public, and even a scrimmage, basically, on the field at Children's Mercy Park. You get to go to the game over the weekend as well, and it's coming up. So you want to get your tickets, go to sportingkc.com for the details, and it's going to be the weekend of the game against FC Dallas. So part of it is going to the game and watching Sporting KC against FC Dallas, happy hour, scrimmages, training sessions, all that stuff. You're going to basically get to be a Sporting Kansas City player. But you don't have to be sporting fit to do it, Carter. People like fat old guys like me and you can actually get out there and do it. So that should be an incredible weekend.
It's a cool, cool experience. I think the stuff that they're going to be able to do at Pinnacle, I'm pretty jealous of, you know, using that medical recovery equipment. I've been wanting to, after a night of boozing, come in there and try and try and sweet talk some of the guys into letting me in, then they don't. So,
yeah. Or far like me, we pull a hamstring. I'm like, oh, just let me try that. You and I walk by there all the time when we're out there to do interviews with players and coaches, but we don't get to use that stuff.
We got one day where we kind of, the whole staff got to kind of look at some of the stuff. We didn't get to use most of the medical stuff, but we got to use the nap chairs for a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
those are incredible.
Those are unbelievable.
It's like zero gravity.
It's like zero gravity nap chairs. It's like you can't not sleep in them.
Right.
So, Pinnacle is going to be incredible. I'll be jealous of the stuff that they can do there. But then to be able to play on the field at Children's Mercy Park, I mean, that's just that's going to be cool for some people to run out there.
Every time I get a chance before the games and after the games at Children's Mercy Park, just to walk out onto the field. It makes you want to go put on some boots and run around because, I mean, it's just – and especially this year.
This year it's immaculate,
it's
man.
Just carpet, you know. The idea of getting to play a game on a field like that is just incredible. So get the details, sportingkc.com, and it's coming up. It's on the weekend of the 20th, so you want to sign up.
Coming up soon here. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there might be a media game on that FC Dallas game as well. I don't know if that's public info, so sorry to everyone if I spilled that. I don't know if that's the right weekend, but maybe you get a little two-for-one in watching the FC Dallas Sporting KC game as
Can
well.
Can we get you in the media game this time around? I mean, you know, it's a TV game.
Trying to get some respect around here.
Yeah.
Trying to get some respect. I told them I got a tearaway suit, so if they meet me, I can just rip that thing off and get out there. But
I had my highlight scoring the goal and jumping into the cauldron, and I kind of retired from that point. So it's time
out.
For you to take over, young man, young Carter Augustine. Okay, so that's one thing we want to get
fantasy
experience, sportingkc.com, presented by our friends at AT&T, as we are here at the AT&T store right now. Talk about experiences. These Women's World Cup watch parties down in the Power and Light District have been incredible, and they've increased in intensity
and
atmosphere every single time. Even on a Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock with 90-degree temperatures, that place was incredible today. Yeah. And if you've missed it so far, you got a weekend opportunity now on Sunday at 10 a.m. to come down and be a part of it for the final.
For the final.
And that one's going to be just completely off the charts.
I was pleasantly surprised today because last Friday was unbelievable, and I expected it to be because it's kind of like it's Friday, still 2 o'clock, but
yes.
You can kind of maybe take off for the weekend. Tuesday's tough at 2, and I was really, really impressed with the turnout, and it was a great game, obviously, today that everyone got to see drama all the way throughout. And Sunday is going to be fantastic. Yeah, one last opportunity, and I got to expect that thing's going to be packed to the rafters. It's going to be awesome, and whoever they play, Netherlands or Sweden. Obviously, Sweden, there's some revenge for the Olympics that they can think about just a couple years ago going out to them on penalties. And then with the Netherlands, they just kind of seem like an up-and-coming team. So I think it's going to be a good matchup regardless of which one of those teams wins.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the Netherlands won the European Championship a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So we're talking about some good teams here. And you can tell that the rest of the world is coming. Mm-hmm. France gave the United States women's national team all they can handle.
Yep.
England today, that match could have gone either way.
Really
could. Right? I mean, we really – the
offside, the margin of the offside was, I mean, a foot.
Do you like the fact that a call that's that close gets overturned by VAR? Do you think it's the right call and do you think that's appropriate?
It's the – I mean, by the letter of the law, she's offside. So, I mean, that's why –
Gosh, it was close.
It's real close. Those are the ones that I really love VAR for. Offside is black and white.
Right.
It's a black and white rule. Those are the type of decisions that, if it crosses the line or not, like those are the type of decisions that I think, and I think they handled that one really well too. It was quick. She didn't even have to go to the monitor. You saw Ellen White, actually the English striker who scored the disallowed goal. She was trying to talk to the referee to go to the monitor, and the referee was pointing at her ear like, no, it's black and white. They told me in my ear, we don't have to go to the monitor. It's offside. And yeah, it's fractional. Maybe there's a discussion about the offside rule itself to be had, which a lot of people have been having with VAR. But by the letter of the law, she was offside. It was so tight, though.
Yeah, see, and that's one where Yeah, I know they like you said, they've kicked around the concept of if part of your body is onside, should we start to refer to that as onside instead of if part...
Daylight between the players. Yeah. If you're even, you're on.
Because I thought the majority of her body was level with a couple of the American center backs, but she was leaning forward.
Her
foot was a little bit forward. You're right, by the letter of the law, she was off, but...
I think the U.S. kind of got lucky on that, too, because it's not like they stepped to catch her offside, and it was a really well-timed pass.
Yeah.
Well, not really well-timed, but almost really well-timed.
Yeah. Almost perfectly timed. And those through balls by England were good. And then, of course, the penalty...
Wow. That one, I think, is tough. I don't know about you. There's obviously contact, but for me, the player, again, it's Ellen White. She's... reaching her foot back to go for the kick, and Sauerbrunn's running. I don't think Sauerbrunn makes the challenge. I felt like Ellen White actually kicked into her.
Boy, that is you're maybe right. And that is one that is not black and white, like you said. Now, if we're going to get down to the you know matter of inches that the offside penalty was. There was contact.
There was.
And I thought when I watched it at first that she had swung and missed. I thought it was just a whiff. But then once they slowed it down, you could see that there was contact, and it was enough to put her off to the point where she swung and missed. It wasn't a dive. And so I didn't have a problem with the penalty being awarded. I thought you could clearly see the contact was made. But I'm one of the few people that thought that the penalty that was given to the United States, the second penalty against Spain, I thought that one was a penalty, too. I thought it was a foul. I thought it was a clumsy challenge, and she caught
Lavelle
in the shin, maybe minorly so, but she caught her. And so I didn't have a problem with it. It's easy for me to say that now because the penalty was saved, and all is well that ends well for the United States. And how about the goalkeeper for the U.S. Nair coming up when
what
she's
a moment.
She's been under pressure.
She has been.
People have been calling into question whether or not she could get it done, and boy, has she.
What a moment that was. Yeah. And you could tell right at the final whistle that the entire team runs out to her. What a moment. I liked how they handled the VAR there, too, because this time the referee did go to the monitor, and she made the decision that there was a foul there. So you're right. There was contact, and the referee, who had been calling a pretty great game throughout, I thought, made the decision to overturn her initial non-call. So it's a tough one because, again, like I said, I just felt like Sauerbrunn didn't make a challenge. I thought she was in her own position. But
she tried to run around the
yeah,
back.
Exactly.
But sometimes when you do that, you get your legs tangled up. And, you know, and if that's what that really was, you know, I can see a case for a penalty there. Now, one of the storylines from this game as well, Megan Rapinoe, we all wondered, why wasn't she in the starting lineup? We find out she's got a very, very, what she's calling very slight hamstring issue. She says it's not even a strain, so she expects to be ready for the final.
Yep.
Rose Lavelle was subbed off. I think she's been one of the real stars.
Fantastic.
And
today,
the nutmeg she had today.
Today she was unbelievable.
Yes.
The nutmeg was incredible, but I don't know if she lost the ball. I mean, she might have. I don't know the stats, but it just felt like under tight pressure situations with one or two players closing down on her, she always managed to wriggle her way free and create something. She's been fantastic, and hopefully her hamstring isn't very bad either.
And Tobin Heath seemed to take a bit of a knock in the game. Now, she did continue at that point, but obviously you're talking about three of the most influential attackers on the team, but it's worth pointing out, Kristen Press comes in for Rapinoe. She scores a goal. They have so much depth on this team that hopefully it's not an issue.
Did the job defensively as well against Lucy Bronze, who everyone was saying was maybe the best player in the tournament up until this, the right back for England.
Yeah.
And Press was always right in her hip pocket when she tried to get forward.
Yeah, Alex Morgan with the goal. She's got six now, so now that she's getting one more game, she's got a chance to go for the golden boot. She's tied for the lead
with White.
Yep. So that's going to be something to watch. But I just want to point out to everybody, if you're listening to this show, you're a Sporting Kansas City fan, you have ties to Kansas City if you don't live here in town. What this city has accomplished during these Women's World Cup watch parties, I cannot stress enough how impressive it is, because this is not happening around the country. There have been times when we've seen, like during the Men's World Cup back in Brazil, that these watch parties were sprouting up. So you might be under the impression that there are watch parties like the one we just had in the Power and Light District in cities all over the country. That is not the case. We are doing something here in this city, and there's a reason that Fox keeps showing us every single time. It's not because they could show all these other amazing watch parties. It's because we are the one that they want to focus on because we're doing something that nobody else, and they're trying in some other places and they're not pulling it off. That's something, if you're a Kansas Cityan, that you should be incredibly proud of.
Yep, incredibly proud of. And I've seen, I feel like a lot of the crowd has been girls, which I think is just awesome. And that's, you know, there's obviously old farts like you and myself out there that are enjoying it and loving it. And there's guys that are out there that don't have kids that are just there to watch the soccer and the World Cup, which is incredible as well. But it's just really cool to be able to watch these girls kind of looking up to their heroes and get together and have this really, really unique experience, like you said, together watching the Women's World Cup.
And to see, I'll take it another step because you're exactly right. It's so beautiful to see all these little girls out there who have heroes up on the screen that everybody's cheering for. And I think it's really cool to see the little boys in the crowd who are cheering on the girls. Because I'll be honest with you, in my generation, you just didn't, when I was a kid, when I was a little kid, you didn't have that opportunity very often to, you know, 1999, by the time that happened, I was already a grown up, you know, so the chance for these boys to be able to cheer on the girls and have everybody be a part of that collective experience has been really cool. And Sunday is just going to be absolutely incredible. So you're going to want to get there early, trust me, and we're going to turn it out and have a phenomenal time on Sunday at the Power and Light District. So Sports Radio 810, Sporting Kansas City, we've got gifts, giveaways. They brought out the CO2 cannons this time around. You know, the folks in the Power and Light District keep kind of turning it up a notch every time.
Some spray cool fans as well, which is very
– I'm going to take credit for that, Carter. I sent an email out to Blake McFarland and the KC Light people and said, we need some misters out there, you know, something to help cool people down a little bit.
That was nice.
So hopefully, you know, 10 a.m. on a Sunday, it'll be a little bit cooler, not quite the hottest part of the day, like 2 o'clock. And you know what? Nobody cared today. No one cared that it was hot. So come on out on Sunday, and we'll get after it. Let's get to Sporting Kansas City now. We're gonna take a break here, and when we come back, we're gonna play a conversation that I had with Peter Vermees from out at Pinnacle today. As we get ready for Sporting Kansas City against LAFC tomorrow night. I mean, what an opportunity for Sporting finally coming home to try to start turning things back in the right direction. So we'll hear from Peter Vermees, and then Carter and I will give you some thoughts and reaction to that conversation right after this. You're listening to the Sporting Kansas City Show.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB at the AT&T store in Zona Rosa, where Andreu Fontas was here signing autographs today. Reminding you that we are still filling a few last available spots for the Sporting Kansas City fan experience, fantasy experience, hosted by Peter Vermees. If you go to sportingkc.com, you can get the details. And that weekend, the same weekend that Sporting will be playing FC Dallas, that's part of the experience, Sporting legend Josh Wolf will be inducted into the Sporting Legends class of 2019.
USA assistant coach.
Yeah, that's right.
At
he was
moment
just here
as
in
well.
Town
yep.
Last
so
week.
Another perk for the fantasy experience.
There you go. So congratulations to Josh Wolf on that. Let's hear from Peter Vermees. Carter was hanging out with me while we did this interview. You did a TV interview with Peter today, and then I did a radio one, and we talked about this upcoming game against LAFC. All right, Peter. Well, this LAFC team comes to town looking like a juggernaut, where they are in the standings and all that. And I've seen a lot of people comparing what Atlanta United was last year in the second year after their big explosion and expansion. Now LAFC's into their second year and they're having this tremendous season. Do you see any, what do you think of people making those comparisons right now?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it's probably, there's a lot of similarities. Maybe a little different teams in the way that they play a little bit, but definitely right now best team in the league and playing the best soccer. So I think there's a lot of similarities.
They obviously have a guy that's on pace to have the greatest year in the history of the league offensively. He's on pace for 30 goals and 20 assists in Vela. He's always been great, but what in your opinion has made him take an even bigger step this year?
I mean, it's hard for me to say because I'm not around them every day, but only being somebody from far away, what I would say is that, you know, since he entered the league last year, I think the one thing he has shown is that he is very committed to the league and you know, being successful. It's a lot of guys that come to our league that are foreign players that don't take it so seriously, and they wind up not being here that long. But he worked, he works really hard. He's, you can tell that he's a leader within the group, and I think just because of the way he takes it so seriously, it's definitely showing up in his game.
You've talked to me in the past about how maybe in other sports, if there's a game-breaking player, you can design a game plan to try to take that guy away. But in the sport of soccer, because of its free-flowing nature, you can't control where he is and where and when the ball finds him at all times. So with that in mind, how do you try to slow down a guy as electric as Vela?
Well, I think anything for us, it's if we're good at it, right, one of our qualities is a team that keeps the ball a lot. And if we can keep the ball, that means that they don't have it. He can't get on it, and he can't do the things that he's best at, right? Scoring, giving, you know, assists, things like that. So that's one. The other is that your team has to be concentrated to understand that when that guy is in and around certain areas or he's in certain positions, there's certain ways that you can defend him. And I think our guys are smart enough to know that. I think they understand how that has to be taken care of within the game. But at the same time, it's like Messi. Everybody knows who Messi is, right? But at the same time, it doesn't matter how much you focus in on him. At some point, he's gonna find a way. It's kind of like Gerso. Everybody knows that Gerso's fast, but somehow Gerso gets in behind teams, and they all know it. It's because, you know, you can't just stay focused on that one person for 90 minutes.
So I know this is a sore subject with you, what I'm about to bring up, because you've talked about it in the past, but you go out and you find a Latif Blessing and you start to develop him as a player, but then the expansion draft allows another team to just take him away from you. You were kind of still, I think, it maybe correct me if I'm wrong, discovering all of what he could do as a young player in this league. Has anything that he's done in LA surprised you, or has it been exactly kind of what you thought he would develop to be?
No, not at all. I mean, look at last year for him. He was in, he was out, he was in, he was out. He wasn't there all the time. And now this year, now he's kind of found his place and his role. Sometimes that takes the player to maybe find a good place for him on the field, where he fits into the team, but also maybe he needs to learn the league a little bit. The thing that's frustrating about it is that when, if this was 10 years ago, it's a different story, but the amount of time that goes into finding players and ones that work within your team, I mean, nobody in our league had any idea who he was.
Yeah.
until we brought him in. And for them to just be able to, you know, take him on an expansion and us to get, you know, a very, very small figure that we get in return for all the work and everything that we did. That's the difficulty of it. But I'm hoping that at some point those types of rules change.
Well, in this sport, when there's a global pool of players for guys to go out and get, a team like LAFC, should they really even be having to draw from other teams in the league? Is it necessary to have expansion to start a new team?
Well, you kind of said it. There's a big difference, right? When the NFL has an expansion, let's say they have expansion, well, there's no other football league around the world really for them to play. You got Canada, but whatever. I understand why you have to do an expansion draft, because there's only so many players out there, right? Yeah. And they're playing here in the United States. But soccer is a global sport. There's players everywhere. I believe this wholeheartedly, the amount of things that go to the expansion team right away, they get extra money, they get and I say extra money, they get money above and beyond all the other buckets of money that all the teams get. So they get more. They also get, you know, they get the first or second round draft pick. They get the first and second round this. They get the first. They just get all those things. And so it's one of the reasons why you see expansion teams starting off and being as powerful as they are, as we've seen over the last couple of years with expansion.
To bring it back to this game on Wednesday night, I know you weren't happy with all of the energy that you got from your guys this past weekend. When you're coming off a game like that, is it a good thing to then be playing like the big dogs? Does that kind of get everybody going a little bit to get ready for this game?
I mean, you like to think so, right? What's sad about this past month is we played four games in league play, all on the road. We won one, we lost one, and we tied two. The two that we tied, we for sure could have won both of them if we just could have closed out the game. We didn't play a good game, and I believe that. Look, I think Salt Lake was the better opponent because they score goals, but the game was not a good game. Mm-hmm. I think they realize that as well. But they scored the goals, and they deserved the points. We didn't score the goals. What's sad about it is that if we wouldn't be in the position we are, you know, let's just say we're in the mix of the table right now, four games on the road like we did, it would actually look pretty good.
Yep.
The problem is that we're fighting for a lot of points, and so everything matters to us. And so right now we're very critical of ourselves in that regard. But, you know, I don't think anything changes. We're gonna keep firing away. We got this big game against LAFC. They're the best team in the league, and we got to be up for playing it.
So there's Peter Vermees and Carter, 7 of the next 11 games at home. 6 of those 7 home games are against Western Conference teams. This is the time to make a move, and it starts with 2 home games in a short period of time. LAFC tomorrow night, then Chicago, who's in a similar situation with Sporting on Saturday. What are you looking for out of these 2 games for Sporting KC?
Yeah, you want to see a response from that. What Peter Vermees just said was a bad game out in Salt Lake, and they had some good results over this past month, but at the position they're in, they needed to convert maybe that Houston and that the Toronto leads into wins, and they weren't able to. And so now they I think you're going to hear from the players. They're going to need to win most of their home games from here on out, and it starts with a really, really tough test in LAFC, the best team in the league, best player in the league coming in here. They're missing some players. Walker Zimmerman's a huge miss. Seems like Danilo Silva is going to be out as well, so there might be some gaps there along the back line, but it's going to be a really stern test.
Well, hey, you know, you can also look at it like a big opportunity for Sporting KC. If they want to start off a little run here, why not start off by knocking off the big dogs?
You heard from Andreu Fontas. You heard him go toe-to-toe with LAFC in that first game, and we thought this was going to be 2 of the best teams in the West. It hasn't gone Sporting's way, but we've seen that they have that capability against this team. They need to play like that if they have any chance.
That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Andreu Fontas for joining us. Thanks to you for listening. Remember, tomorrow night, 7:30, Sporting KC against LAFC, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.